question I get most often as a shrink. I've been shrinking for 45 years. I used to be like 6'9". Question I get most often as a shrink. You got any kids? I do, of course. Some of you know I have 10, and that's why I'm here. It's quieter here, and it smells better. People find out I got 10 kids, I always get this. All right. Now that you have your own children, what have you learned? I learned something very critical. I rarely took them out in public. You take them out in public, you know invariably they're going to pull some stunt. Embarrasses the heck out of you. People know you're a shrink. It's worse because you can almost hear them thinking out loud, let's just see what Mr. Psycho Man does about this one. Many of you have raised your children. You know this. We get our vengeance. First 9, 10 years of life out in public, they embarrass us. After that, Dad, you embarrass them. Oh, man, come on, Dad. Don't wear the pants with the feathers. Dad, don't wave at me when people are looking right at us, and I'm not going to pull your finger. Why do you suppose most people want to talk to me about parenting? Number one reason, discipline. Okay, Mr. Expert Man, you tell me how to get him to stay in bed. I can't get him to stay in bed. Chews his way down through the bedroom floor, drops into the family room. I'm back. You'll never be free. You'll never have another child. I'll be in your bed till I'm 16, that's why. And that girl's mouth, that snotty, snarly, you know, if I'd have talked to my parents that way, my head would have been rolling down the hallway and the school people, they don't help. You know what they did last year? They closed during June, July, and August. I actually had to live with my own child during the daytime. Many of you have raised your children, and I know you look at the younger generations and you think to yourself, what is going on out there? Why are so many big people, where the little people are concerned, now so frustrated, so guilt-ridden, so unsure of themselves, so tentative, so insecure? Plenty of reasons. Don't have time tonight to talk about all of them, but I'm going to give you a big one. This has changed in the last two generations. Big change. Biggest change has been the culture. This is the second biggest change. The shrinks. Me. The experts. I'm everywhere. Crawling all over women's magazines, all over television, radio, putting out thousands of books and articles every year. Net message, what do you know? You're just a mother. Yeah, you can stumble your way along. Hopefully you won't foul it up too bad. But you want to do this right? The new, modern, psychologically enlightened way? Yep. Got to be state certified, congressionally mandated, Child Development Ring, Psychomental International on Oprah. Specialist. I'm convinced that those of you who have raised your children were really the last generation who knew across the board who the parent was. Many of you raised 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 kids, and you didn't tear your hair out. Nowadays, these young people are raising 1 or 2 kids, and they're going, I'm so frustrated. I just don't know how to deal with this. People used to say to us, are these all your children? And I'd say, no, of course not. The oldest is at home with the triplets. I was 3 years old. I said this to my mom. I don't like you. She looked at me. Raymond, you're a little behind. I stopped liking you last year. That was back before you could psychologically smack parents around, you know. One of my kids tells me I don't like you. So what? I got 5 or 6 who do. Any given moment, I got a 50% approval rating. People will say to me, help me discipline less. I'm so frustrated. I said, I have an easy technique. This is the best thing to do to discipline any kid, grandkid, less. Foolproof. You want to discipline less? Lower your standards. Get them low enough, you don't have to discipline at all. I told you, quit doing drugs in the living room. when we have company. I'm fond of telling folks discipline without love may be harsh. Love without discipline is child abuse. Because ultimately, that child, that grandchild, is going to run into those folks out there. They'll hurt him. A judge, a landlord, an army sergeant, a police officer, an employer. I shudder at this next one. A wife. Somebody's going to discipline him. And the world doesn't give mitigating circumstances. Some employer is not going to say, "You are just so cranky. Now, did you get a nap today? You go home and rest up till you're ready to come in." I was talking to these sweet people here at this table. I owe you an apology. I gotta say sorry. I'm not a very good conversationalist anymore. And I can explain. My wife and I have been getting in this little tiff. Every time we do, she brings up the same theme. "Ray, would you please get out of the 70s? Ladies, one thing about us guys, you know this. All you have to do is tell us to do something one time, we do it." I'm sensing incredulity here. I didn't want to hear this get out of the 70s stuff. Our anniversary is coming up. I was going to go out and get my wife something by myself. I'm not going to bring any of my daughters to help me. I got 5 boys and 5 estrogen Americans. I'm not bringing any of the girls to help me. My girls know their mother up one side, down the other. My boys don't even know they got a mother half the time. The average 5-year-old girl walks up to her mother. "Excuse me, mother. While I do appreciate the guidance you've given me on these first few years, I feel compelled to tell you you were wrong on most of it, okay? Why don't you raise Dad? He's got about 10 or 12 more years of middle school to go through." The average 16-year-old boy is still doing this. Mom, where's the ice cubes? "No, I asked Dad. He don't know where they are either." My daughter Liz, 24. For the last 10 years, she's been able to run the whole family. My son Pete is 26. Still giving his brother wedgies. These are not the same species here. I didn't want to hear this get out of the 70s stuff. Our anniversary's coming up. I'm going to go get her gift by myself. Get out of the 70s. So I went out. I bought her one of those mood rings. See, that's kind of how she reacted, sort of like that. "Okay, ladies, you laugh. Those things work. They do. She's in a good mood, turns green. She's in a bad mood, leaves a red mark on my forehead." There's an interesting phenomenon that occurs in my office. A parent will come in and describe about this much trouble. Then they'll say this, "I think I'm giving you the wrong impression. Overall, he's a pretty good kid." How is that? Well, he's not on drugs or anything like that. One of the new moral high bars, folks, he's not on drugs. I ask my clients, what do you want looking back at you at age 22? What would you hope to be able to say about that child? Now, we got no guarantees nowadays, and I'll get to that in a minute. But if you hope to say something like this, given the way kids are turning out nowadays, I'm counting my blessings. Parole officer says one of the nicest kids he has. I tell him, you don't have to parent that hard. Just parent like that culture out there. You'll probably have a kid not on drugs. If you wish to look at that child at age 22 and say something like this, he's 1 in 100. Morals, character, compassion, like those beautiful girls that were up here for the rosary. Then I challenge him. You ready to be 1 in 100 at this? Folks, you can't be like them out there anymore. They don't think like you. They don't believe like you. Look at you. You're coming here because in a small town in Iowa, 10 years ago, that guy starts a radio station. And if somebody would have told me that you'd have a 10-year anniversary with this kind of people here, I said, you're nuts. It's not going to happen. Too many stations fold. Look at you. You're giving up your time. You're coming here. You're loving, caring people. Either that or you got no life whatsoever. Listen. You're different. The experts don't think like you. Go to the computer, type in child self-esteem search. Last I looked, over 100 million options, because the experts believe that self-esteem is the preeminent moral virtue, even though the research says, believe it or not, it's not related to anything. You know who has the highest self-esteem? Inmates. Type in child humility search. A fraction. When's the last time you heard a shrink talk about humility? My humility is something I'm very proud of. You know, I'm going too fast for this whole table right here. Wait, you set them according to IQ? I got a new book coming out. Some of you asked me that. The three most humble people I know, and how I taught the other two. Was this a delayed joke here? It's like a joke grenade. It takes 10 seconds for us to go off. It's like, can you imagine our Lord going up to the apostles? Simon. Now, there for a while, I toyed with changing your name to Peter, but I decided against it. I didn't know what that would do to your self-image. You've always seen yourself as a Simon. I go changing your identity now. It changes who you are. I didn't know what untoward psychological effects that might have. However, I've spoken to my father, and he and I believe you have a future in this operation. If you can conceive it, you can believe it. If you can believe it, you can achieve it. 12 more weeks of Tony Robbins management courses, Simon. You'll run this outfit. I don't think so. I always wanted to go to confession like the politicians. Bless me, Father. Mistakes were made. And I would like to apologize if God took something I said out of context, misinterpreted it, and became offended by it. I'm sorry for his sensitivity. I learned a lot of psychology from my dad. We got a boatload of dads in here. You do not get this amount of father ratio to women. This is an incredible sign of the quality of your community. And I want to say something to the dads here. Whether you're a grandpa, great-grandpa, still raising your kids, you know what the women are telling me? That they're becoming the authorities in the home. They're setting the rules, they're setting the standards, they're setting the tone, and a Disney dad over here, Mr. Good Time, Mr. Easygoing, laid back, oblivious. Mr. Honey, I was that way when I was a kid. I think I turned out pretty good. And the women are thinking, let's gather the relatives and vote. More and more women are telling me they're the authorities in their homes. We guys are along for the ride. Do what your mother says. I do what your mother says. Everybody does what your mother says. Gentlemen, protect that woman. You'd never let another human being talk to her the way that child grandchild talks to her. Next time you hear her locked into a battle with a kid, don't think to yourself, I close my eyes. I can't tell which one of them's a 9-year-old. Get in there and protect that woman. That's not just your mom you're talking to that way. Or your grandma. That's my wife. You sit down. I'm going to see what she wants me to do about this. Well, you can't protect without your lawyer, you know, drawing up the papers. And then I'm going to do more. I tell you what, gentlemen, you stand up for that woman. They feel very affectionate toward you. Sometimes I'll give my boys a couple bucks. Go give your mother grief. I'll be right in. Worked pretty good till she found out I was only giving them a couple bucks. Dads are not as versatile as moms. You know, dads are all kind of stamped out of the same mold. I finally figured out why that is. You know how moms have to go to Lamaze classes to learn how to be Maz? She's looking at me like, did I leave the iron on? Dads must go to La Paz classes. First time I heard this, I was 3 years old. You going to cry? I'm going to give you something to cry about. First father ever to fling that one around. Raymond, you go get me something to spank you with. Fathers are generous people. My dad was always giving me something. Dad, I can't shovel the snow. I got a bellyache. Raymond, I'm going to give you a bellyache. You ever notice how our father, he's always giving you something. Now, I don't know if we have any teachers in here or former teachers, but if you went through in services, you talked to shrinks and you heard shrinks talk about communication, communicating with children using I messages. Don't use you messages. Say, I'm frustrated. Don't say you frustrate me. My father was 30 years ahead of I messages. He would take nouns, change them into verbs on my head. Dad, I got peanut butter on your vice grips. Raymond, I'm going to peanut butter your head. It was always some I message up here. You're not going to find I'm going to peanut butter your head in any discipline book I've looked. By today's enlightened standards, my father was a barbarian, a parenting Neanderthal. Judge it by the acid question, folks. Not was he psychologically correct. A culture is in big trouble when psychological correctness is replacing moral correctness. When more people are asking the question, is it normal? As opposed to, is it right? 3-year-old melting down on you is pretty typical. It's not good. 14-year-olds will get snotty and disrespectful if you let them. It's not right. The question is not, is it normal? Sin is normal. Is it good and right? For my father, a high school dropout during World War II, his discipline worked about 50% of the time. That is sky-high success rate. How's he doing this? Two things. He loved me desperately, and I knew that. And I always tell my clients, this is not a psychological process. This is a relationship. You don't have to dot all your psychological I's and cross all your psychological T's. And if you screw it up, someday he's going to be sitting in the middle of a Springer encounter group with 9 other drug addict, cross-dressing, social parolee, bad check-writing, terrorist misfits. He's their leader. Talking about you, Mom, and the time you left him on the pot for 4 minutes too long. You named him John because you were hoping it would help in the toilet training. Sorry, John. Sorry. Sometimes I'll tease my clients. What would your mother have done had you talked to her the way your daughter is talking to you? Oh, no, I didn't do that. I knew better. Well, why didn't you? You were a teenage girl once. I may have felt like it, but I didn't do it. Why? I knew. You knew what? Something would happen. What? I don't know. Why don't you know? It never happened. Why didn't it happen? I never did it. Why didn't you do it? Something would have happened. What? I don't know. Who's on first? I don't know. Third base! It's an Abbott and Costello routine, but you see what it speaks up, dear people. I call it the perception of authority. Many of you in the older generation had the perception of authority. Remember the look? Oh, you look at a kid now, he looks back at you like, what are you looking at? You want a piece of this? My dad used to bounce a look off our heads at Mass all the way down to the end of the pew. By the time it got to me, still had enough juice left in it that I wet myself. Get up, go to communion, come back, stand at the edge of the pew like this. And you're going to be holy. You got to tilt your head. And the little old Italian Catholic ladies would be thinking, now see, look at that young man. He lets his sisters go in first. He's going to be a priest. No, skip priest. He's going to go straight to cardinal. That wasn't it. I wasn't going to sit the rest of Mass in urine. At one point, my children were 12, 11, 10, 10, 9, 7, 4, 3, 2, and baby. Now, my 10 children are all adopted, all 10 of them. Now, I was talking to a young lady over there. She had adopted 2 children, and some of you may be adopted parents. Agencies do not tell you this. This is a great benefit of adoption. If you adopt in December, you still get the tax deduction for the whole year. They pay for themselves the first year, but you fall behind because they eat more. But if you cut back on the food, you can break even September, October. As we got more children, my wife and I started having more conflicts. And ladies, I believe you will agree with me. First of all, my wife does not work for a living. I don't know what she does. Oh, they turn on you fast around here. I've seen what the woman does. I want no part of what the woman does. When the kids were little, she'd take them to a grocery store. I'd go if I was heavily sedated. I would go. You had to see it. They were strung out behind her like ducks, hands at their sides. Not allowed to touch anything. They wouldn't deviate 6 inches either way out of a straight line the whole 2 hours they were in there. No, they wouldn't. Leg irons wouldn't let them. I got 3 white kids, 2 Hispanic kids, 2 biracial kids, 3 black kids. People would look at my wife. Some of them were pretty bold. Is this some kind of club or something? Some of them wouldn't say a whole lot, but I could read their eyes. That major dork don't realize them ain't all his. I suspect her, but I can't catch her. Six of our kids we got at infancy, 4 we got later. The twins were the toughest. So we got the twins when they were 4 years of age. Birth mom ingested every toxin she could get a hold of. We don't know where the kids were the first couple years of their lives. She shunted them all over the place. Children's services placed them in foster care. Foster parents were sweet people, but they didn't discipline them. They felt guilty. Remember what I said about love without discipline is child abuse because the world's going to hurt you? We've since found out that my son and daughter, John and Joanna, had a chance to be adopted prior to us. 2 families were picked before us. We had 4 kids at the time. They weren't looking at us. The 2 families backed out because they met the children and they reacted. Ooh, we were thinking of something a little more along the lines of a child. You see what I mean, dear people, about the world putting a consequence on you? That little 4-year-old boy and girl lost a mommy and a daddy 3 times. Why? Because of their conduct. Why? Because the big people looked at him and said, not you, you're warped. I got to admit, it didn't look too good. First visit there, Johnny punches me in the face. Attempts to strangle my wife, kicks the foster father about 14 times during one of his multiple eruptions. We walked out of there, and my wife had developed a tick. She was just gone. And she said, Ray, we got to rethink this. I don't think the tax deduction's worth it. I said, honey, 2 tax deductions plus the credits. First weekend visit to our house, my wife says, Raymond, why don't you put the children to bed tonight? Now, they never made Johnny go to bed. He roamed the house. He cut stuff up. So we're coming to our house, and my wife says, Raymond, take care of it. I said, honey, I don't have time for that. I'm writing a parenting book. All right, guys, come on. Let's go. Now, everybody came running except Johnny. Johnny just stood there. No, go bad. Okay, I'm not a big guy. But in my younger days, I was a power lifter, and I still lift. So one thing I know for certain, I am stronger, even at my age, than the biggest, baddest 4-year-old in the whole world. The kid is going to bed. The question is he going to cooperate? So I went over, kind of like the veterinarians tell you, you know, bend down, don't tower over a wild animal, let him smell your hand. I put my hands on his shoulders. Now, he could tell by my grip, this is how shall we say, a non-negotiable psychological interchange. Now, at that point, he erupts. Head starts spinning around. Green stuff's coming out. He's leaking out of every body orifice. Now, you got a little one over here. That's my theory on why God put holes in them, to leak off the pressure. Now, most of them leak up here, but you can get leakers down here. And sometimes you get pukers. Now, the interesting thing about a puker is by year 1 or 2, they kind of fade out of it. You develop out of it. You can't get yourself so upset you throw up. But wouldn't it be great if you didn't? I mean, think about this. John picks you up. you're not real crazy about the guy. It's your first date. He says, can I call you again? You go over to his passenger door. You lean in. Even he could pick up that nonverbal. Johnny wasn't going to go to bed, so I picked him up. Carried him to bed like this. I wanted to convey an impression. I put him in bed. I put my hands on his shoulders, and I just held him. He couldn't move. He's like, I didn't hurt him. But we already said prayers. We already brushed teeth. I said, Johnny, bedtime, son. Daddy's not going to let you get up until I decide you're going to stay. And please, after I leave, don't get up, because I'll come back. You should have seen the look on his face. I went from Disney World to the county jail. My son Andrew was 6 years old. He's in the top bunk. He's just looking at this. I said, Andrew, would you talk to your brother John, please? Johnny, Daddy says go to bed. You better go to bed. I remember one time I didn't go to bed. You're not going to like what's going to happen. You know that, Johnny? You think he's going to leave? He doesn't leave, John. He always does that. He goes out in the hall, and he waits for you. And then if you come out without permission, he's going to crack your bottom. He don't care what the caseworker says. Andrew, that's enough. You sound like Mom. Now, how long do you think I had to hold that boy before he went? It was under a minute. How can this be? He resisted bedtime for over 2 years. Am I such a great disciplinarian? No, my wife's a far better disciplinarian than I am. Perception. Perception. Many of you would say, I never dreamed of doing that to my parents. Why not? Perception. They didn't use sticker systems. They didn't use win-win scenarios, active listening. Perception. You knew they had a loving, calm, strong authority. Not in a bad way, not in a kick the door down. You know what happens with the young people who go to confession now. You may have this. Bless me, Father. Okay. Before children, I was pretty nice. Now I'm not pretty or nice. I just want to know, how serious a sin is it to want to shoot your child with a bazooka? Okay. My kids have what the experts would call risk factors. Now, in psychological parlance, a risk factor is anything that would make a kid tougher to raise. Poor prenatal care, poor postnatal care, abuse in the womb, neglect in the womb, high maternal stress, low birth weights, heavy drug exposure, crack, narcotics, barbiturates, heroin, cocaine, nicotine, marijuana. My son Peter, birth mom was told you're pregnant, don't worry about it. There's a blood clot growing next to the baby. Baby grows, blood clot grows. Blood clot suffocates baby. Problem solved. The problem made it. He was born 2 months premature, 1 month intensive care, but Petey made it. My daughter Elizabeth. Birth mom got pregnant in the 7th grade. Yeah, I went to Akron, Ohio to get it taken care of. She didn't realize she was in her 7th month. In Ohio, you couldn't get an abortion in the 7th month. Well, that's sadly probably going to change. Even though Ohio is a very conservative state, it is being misled, and I don't want to digress too far, but it's horrible what's going to happen in Ohio. So when you look at this and you see Ohio enshrines into their constitution abortion up to the day of birth, and minorities, minor children over age 13 who want to get an abortion or a trans operation or hormonal intervention, the parents can't stop it. That's what's on the ballot. And the way it's worded, you wouldn't know it. So what may happen, unless God directly intervenes here, is you're going to get Ohio State, one of the most conservative states of the union, probably going to enshrine into their constitution abortion up to the day of birth. So that little girl was in Akron, Ohio, and she couldn't get an abortion, so she called us the next day. We were not expecting 10 kids. We thought we were done at 9. I guess you could say Lizzie was an unplanned adoption. We weren't practicing safe phone. My son Samuel. 2 weeks before due date, 35-year-old birth mom was told something is terribly wrong. Do you mind if we test? Tentative diagnosis, corpus callosum agenesis, severe neurological birth defect. Worst case scenario, institution for life. You got to believe everybody in that birth mom's whole world was against her having this child. She gave birth to Sammy. Sammy goes by Sergeant G at Fort Hood, now called Fort Cavazos. It was a shadow on the ultrasound. The test was totally inaccurate. So my kids have this confluence of developmental yuck that should make them harder to raise and slower to socialize, more impulsive, more immature. I got some like that. I would not consider any of my 10 children strong-willed. This dude is one toke over the line, sweet Moses. How could you have 10 kids under those circumstances, not consider any of them strong-willed when, folks, you know how we all describe children in our culture now? Mind of her own, stubborn streak a mile wide. This child is so independent, so determined, so oppositional. She's going to do what she wants. White is black, black is white. Very high maintenance youngster, very high maintenance youngster. Challenging child, very challenging child. We talked to the pediatrician. We have a difficult child. Difficult child is redundant. Am I delusional? No, I think there's a simple explanation. The strongest willed of my 10 children is not stronger willed than his mother. I've got so many strong-willed kids out there because the big people have lost will. We're not as sure of ourselves. We're not as confident. Somebody asked my wife once when the kids were little, what would you do if one of your kids just refused to take their discipline? And my wife said, I don't know. And her friend said, what do you mean you don't know? She said, well, they haven't. It's because very young she taught them, take your discipline or the consequences will be much more significant. And they learned that by age 2, 3, 4. So you didn't have an 8-year-old son, make me. What are you going to do about it? Now, you got to be careful. Don't get carried away. My dad got carried away, said things that made me neurotic. Raymond, you shut your mouth and eat. I'll teach you to backtalk your mother, young man. Come on, Dad, I already know how. I'll show you to hit your brother. Go ahead. You fall out of that tree, break both your legs, Buster, don't come running to me. Now, my mother had a different philosophy of discipline. My mother's philosophy was, you never say in 7 words what you can say in 67,000. I'd be in the backyard, oblivious to my mother, trying to get me in the house for supper when the torrent of words would begin. Cardinal law discipline. You talk 200 to 400 words a minute with Gus up to 800. You're throwing ping pong balls at the hull of an aircraft carrier for all the impact you're having. This is not the organal discipline. If this is what you use most of the time, you better shut it, because if you don't back it up, it just has a tendency to get loud and nasty. My mother would start. Raymond Nicholas Garendi. How many times are you going to make me call you Buster? You know, buddy boy, you seem to think I talk just to hear myself talk. You seem to think I like the sound of my own voice. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You better listen, and you better listen good, because I am not going to say it again. I was not put on this earth to serve you. There are 5 other people in this house. You think you'd have all of our schedule around yours? You come waltz here, pluck your bucket down when you're darn getting ready. Mom, I'm hungry. Baby, oh. And I'm going to get up when I'm doing. You got another thing coming, Buster. You mark my words. There's going to be some changes around here because I am sick and I am tired. I have just about had you up to here. You don't realize how good you got it, but you're going to find out, because I'm going to tell you something else. You look at me when I talk to you. Don't you look at me like that. I never moved. She wasn't mad enough yet. My mother's philosophy was, if the first 30,000 didn't get you anywhere, double it. You think you got it tough? I'm going to tell you what tough is. When I was a little girl, I used to walk 18 miles uphill both ways to school in a foot of nuclear waste with no shoes. We had one pair that glowed for 14 brothers and sisters, and my turn only came around every 2 weeks, and I always gave my turn away. That's the kind of girl I was. I got up 5 o'clock in the morning, 2 hours before we were even allowed to go to bed. Split a cornflake for breakfast with 8 brothers, carried them to school on my back. And you want to know something? I was grateful for what little I had. What'd you have, Mom? Nothing! You listening? But we were happy children. What are our kids going to tell their kids? 580 channels, that's all we got when I was a boy. Yes, to make your sister go get the remotes for you. When I was a boy, I only had 9 of them. Power buttons up at the top. Had to stretch your thumb like that, get that top power button. Sometimes it hurts up right there, you know. Yeah. One winter got so bad. After my mom done shoveling the driveway, she only made it halfway up the walk before she collapsed. I had to step over her with my hot chocolates. I spilled some right there. Should have sued her. Pop's discipline ultimately kicked in. Hey! Dad, I washed and waxed both cars. I raked the leaves. I had a big wet spot right here, you know. We are a microwave culture. We want results. We want them certainly. We want them minimally. I fall prey to this. I get up in the morning. I stick my mug in the microwave. I punch in 60 seconds. Then down around the 30-second mark, I'm doing this. I haven't got all day. I haven't got all minute. Let's go. This has impacted discipline. Parents get very impatient. I've tried everything with this child. Nothing works. Finally, I got so frustrated. I sent him next door to play. Moved the family while he was gone. Alexander, Bell, you guys embarrass me when I'm on the phone. You know that? People call here, I sound like a crazed lunatic. We have a new house rule. From this point forward, somebody calls, you be respectful. Do not interrupt. Let me speak. That includes this. I'm going to excuse myself from the call, put you in your rooms. Don't come out. I'll ground you for the day. I'll come and get you when I'm ready. Now, my clients will say to me, okay, well, how many times would I have to do this before I get peace on the phone? And I'll say 25, 55, 95. I have no idea. That'll be $80. You won't get away with this. Oh, hello, Monsignor. How are you? Thank you. We would be flattered to be the role model family for the church children love in. Monsignor, could you just excuse me for 1 second, please? Yeah, I'm going to have a little love chat with the children. Yeah, they're precious blessings from God. You know how that is. Wish we had 11 or 12 of them. Okay. Well, we love you too, Monsignor. They're getting antsy. Yeah, we're half hour past rosary circle. We still pray it on our knees in Aramaic and broken glass. Yeah. Doesn't everybody? Okay, we love you too, Monsignor. This is just a second. I'll get him back on the phone. Okay. Peace to you. Harmony. Aquarius. Thank you. You're going to die. I'm going to rip your tongue out of your throat, wrap it around the fence for the buzzard to pick at you, little maggot. Get away from her. What's that, Monsignor? No, that's a neighbor lady. Mm-hmm. She always talks to her kids like that. We do pray for her. No, she won't come. She doesn't like kids. A culture says why. A culture says, will you please tell me why that person is acting that way? I do marriage counseling. Once every 5 or 6 years, I would like someone to come in my office and begin like this. You know why I'm here? Because it has finally occurred to me, I am extremely difficult to live with. And I had to drag my spouse in here because I want my spouse to help me take a good hard look at myself. And we do this with kids. Unfortunately, we tag the kids. We put labels on them. We say, what's wrong with them? Why are they like this? We got to start the look here first. This is where it begins. Unfortunately, there's a lot of ideas out there. Before I go, I just want to share these last few with you that make people think, okay, the problem is emanating from the child. Birth order, middle child syndrome. I tell parents, you're that afraid of middle child syndrome, don't have an odd number of kids. You got an odd number? Have another one. Give one away. Wipe out that middle spot. Truth on birth order, it only holds one place, oldest only. As a group, they tend to be a little more independent, a little more achieving. Maybe they develop a shade quicker. I don't think that's their position. We all change our styles. That first kid, you boiled everything she came within 50 feet of. Last kid, you throw him this big dirt ball. Say, here, chew on that. Wipe your mouth off in a gas can before you come in the house. First kid, dual videotape of every burp and bowel movement he ever had. Last kid, one snapshot at the birth, one at the wedding rehearsal dinner. Dad, now how come I got no pictures? That's not true, son. Your sister did a popsicle stick sketch of you in first grade. We kept it. Besides, you look like your sister. Use her pictures. First kid, you sneak into her room every night. You stick a mirror underneath her nostrils. Make sure she's still breathing. Last kid, you tell the dog, get out of the crib. Don't lick her in the face. No, I was talking to the baby. You don't know where that mouse been, poor dog. Somebody asked my wife when our ninth one, Peter, was about 2-3 months old, is Petey sleeping through the night yet? My wife says, I don't know if he is. We are. I mean, you kind of get to that point, you know. And you grandparents are treacherous people because you lurk. You lie in wait for us to have children who do to us what we did to you. My mother was at our house some years ago, sitting in the kitchen, not saying a word. My mother's 100% Italian. If she doesn't ask me if I'm hungry every 12 seconds, something is seriously wrong. I say, Ma, you're being quiet. What are you thinking? Ray, I'll tell you what I'm thinking. I'm thinking you and Randy are getting very sloppy in your parenting. Huh? Elizabeth gets away with murder. Now, Lizzie at that time was the youngest. She was about 7. The other kids tried any of this. You stopped them dead in their tracks. Not Lizzie. You take a picture, you send it out in a Christmas card. Ma, Lizzie doesn't take much discipline. She's a very cooperative child. I'll give you an example. I noticed last night, about a half hour past her bedtime, it was about 3 a.m., all I had to say, Elizabeth, bedtime, please. Immediate cooperation. She took out her cigarette. She put it in the ashtray. The other kids flicked their butts on the floor, not Lizzie, in the ashtray, telling me I'm getting sloppy. Some ideas are so dumb, only intellectuals could actually believe them. I got this in graduate school, and I thought, oh, this won't stick around because the research destroys it. God's word destroys it. Human history destroys it. And this is the notion that is making a vicious, virulent comeback. No differences between boys and girls. No differences between men and women. We're just socialized into different roles. That's all. You give a little girl a front end loader, she'll carry it around for 4 years, become a special ops tank commando. You give a little boy a baby doll, he'll carry it around for 4 years, become a nurturing preschool teacher. 50% of little boys will immediately rip the head off that baby doll and turn it into a machine gun. We are wired different. God says it. Human history says it. The research says it. For example, little girls, women, are more verbal than little boys, men. They talk earlier. They talk better. They talk longer. That's why if a mom drips into a discipline trap, it's usually something along these lines. Talk, talk, nag, nag, repeat, repeat, negotiate. Talk, talk, nag, nag, repeat, repeat, negotiate. If a dad drifts into a discipline trap, it's usually something along these lines. Tolerate, tolerate, oblivious, oblivious, ignore, ignore, kill. Tolerate, tolerate, oblivious, oblivious. First day of kindergarten, I asked my son, Andrew, how was school today, buddy?
Okay.
That's good. So what'd you do?
Nothing.
Or ladies, if you have a very communicative male, stuff. What is the name of the lady who stands in front of you for 6 hours? I don't think she told anybody, Dad. Joshua says he's got one called teacher. I'll ask her if they're related. First day of kindergarten, I asked my daughter, Hannah, how was school today, baby? Well, okay, Daddy. My teacher's name is Mrs. Bartley. Mrs. Bartley has three children, Jessica, Jason, and Ashley. I know their birthdays, their favorite colors, and middle names. I'll tell you those later. We did 12 activities. The pumpkin cutting activity, we started at 8:07. Is that a stupid time or what? Ashley was my best friend until 8:30. Then she got mad at me. I don't even know what I did. But Jessica told Tiffany I could be her forever friend till tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Now, Mrs. Bartley has this little brown mark right here. You can't tell it's there unless she goes over by the window and she bends down kind of like this. If she does, the sun comes through Venetian blinds, off the clock, reflects through her bifocals, forms a prism on the window with a brown dot and a daddy. I don't think she knew it was there, so somebody had better tell her. They both had the same teacher. Psychological correctness is a quagmire. You'll overthink, you'll overanalyze, you'll overtalk, you'll overnegotiate, you'll underenjoy, you'll lose authority, you'll lose confidence, you'll lose security. Certainly you can get better at this, of course. You can gain skills. You can buy my books and tapes. Ah! A little subliminal advertising in there. Nobody picked it up, Tom. But I'll tell you, dear people, it distresses me to see so many people not enjoying their kids because they don't have quiet, calm, strong authority. And if you have authority, you don't use it very often. If you don't have it, you become a crazed lunatic. I want to close with this. And I've been incorporating this at the end of every talk I give, whether it's on marriage, whether it's on faith, whether it's on families. I know in a group like this, the number one disappointment and sadness and self-blame by far is that your children have left the faith. It's a phenomenon now that is unprecedented in human history that so many people raised with their childhood faith have abandoned it, neglected it, rejected it, or hostile toward it. What do? You blame yourself. Especially the ladies, you really torture yourself. What did I do wrong? What did I miss? How did I fail? It was so important to me. Okay, I would like to prove to you logically right now, your days of beating yourself up are over. Please just answer yes or no to these questions. Is there a God? Christ God? Was he sinless? Could he perform miracles? Did he have a perfect understanding of human nature? Could he get most people to follow him? Oh, I see. You think you're better at this than the God man. Can you do a miracle? Can you even do a crummy card trick? Our Lord himself couldn't get most people to follow him, dear little people. Who do we think we are? We think there's some kind of spiritual formula, and you obviously failed motherhood. You know that? That's what you did. My wife and I will never tie our peace to the decisions our adult children make. We will not do that. Many of you have heard me say, I've got some going to serve the church. I got some probably going to serve time. I got one going to Penn State, one going to State Penn. We will not. We refuse. We cannot control that. We did our very best as we knew how, when we were, where we were. The culture strips faith from children like a belt sander. It's not on your side. So the one thing you can do is quit beating yourself up. It was John's fault. You wanted to pray the rosary in Aramaic. He let him sit on the couch. Spiritual sloppiness. Let me close with this. A lot of you have long-standing marriages, and I'd like to just offer a little testament to those marriages. Elderly gentleman and his wife were shopping. She bends over. She picks up a can of clean peaches. She sticks it under her coat. She tries to walk out without paying. Woo! goes before the judge. What'd you do? Stole a can of peaches. How many in a can? 12. 12 days in the county jail then. Her husband can't believe what he's hearing. Your Honor, please, may I speak up? Go ahead. She also stole a can of peas.